Well, hello to you beautiful people out there. Welcome to the Confused Breakfast Podcast. On this podcast, we review the movies that defined the 80s, 90s, and 2000s for us as kids. But you really can't talk about the defining media of your formative years without talking about the rest of pop culture. On our mini-bite episodes, affectionately known as mini-bites, we dive into some other aspects of childhood that must be explored on today's fun-sized conversation. And after the alarming success of chatting about 8-bit Nintendo in a previous mini-bite episode.
Yeah. Alarming.
Alarming. We jump into the 16-bit gaming console world and talk about Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis.
Woo! Yeah.
When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this.
Oh.
I'm not going to do that again. So,
please don't.
Let's hit some review time first. Review time! Okay, so this is from BB Loves Bear 1411. So like, baby... Baby.
BB.
BB loves bear.
BB loves bear.
It's called Subtle Brag. Hello, I just discovered your podcast and I listened to the first episode today. I have to brag. I did see Hocus Pocus in theaters. My birthday is 4 days before Halloween, so obviously it's my favorite holiday. I mean,
got to.
It should be anyway, but you're lucky to have a nice little birthday there. For my 11th birthday, my mom took me and my slumber party to see Hocus Pocus at the Discount Dollar Theater near us, the Pinnacle Theater in Thornton, Colorado, to be exact. I worked at that theater when I was 16, 17. It's still my all-time favorite job. Sadly, it's closed down. Bummer. I loved the movie the first time I saw it, and I love it to this day. 10 out of 10. It's a tradition for me and my family to watch it every year. I don't brag about anything, but this one I couldn't pass up. Anyway, I really enjoyed this episode. Can't wait to listen to the rest. I'm already jonesing for the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. I still watch that show to this day. Thanks for the fun, you guys. I can only speak for myself, but I am thankful for your humor and lighthearted banter. I am grateful for the memories. This is jogging. I smile the whole time listening. Keep up the great work.
Damn.
OG Becca is who wrote that. Thanks, Becca.
Thank you. Damn. Wow. I mean,
I'm just saying, these are like real people that are having a good time listening to us.
Those are a lot of words that are sound really good to me.
Did you hear that? So.
Having a good time. Yeah, wow, thank you so much. I love how it like spurs such deep like memories and passion for like for people, and it's something so close to home for somebody that they got to tell us about it. That's awesome.
And we welcome that. You know, this is all free, so the support you guys can give us is not only telling people about the podcast, sharing it around, but leaving reviews, 5-star reviews for us. You can also leave voicemails.
Ooh, what?
We have a delicious number, 319-804-9596. I got another voicemail for you.
Okay.
Ready for it?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hey, guys. Name's Rob. From Charles City, Iowa.
What's up, Rob?
Love your show. Love your podcast. Found out about you guys through TikTok. And glad to have fellow Iowans talking about nostalgia. And I'd love to recommend to you, if you haven't done already, Never Ending Story. Maybe one and two. Maybe do like a 2-for-1 kind of deal. Or maybe even Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Man,
Nightmare Fuel. Talk about it. Anyway. Thanks a lot, guys. You guys do an awesome job. Can't wait to hear more of you.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, man.
From the home state of Iowa,
home
baby.
Home state.
Yeah. Charles City. It's close enough. Like, we could probably go have lunch with Rob someday.
Absolutely.
You know, just be like, hey, Rob, we're at your house.
Yeah, what's up? Hey.
Feed us.
Hey, you just
want to watch Never Ending Story, dude?
Yeah.
You want to talk to Garbage Pail Kids? Did he say movie?
Yeah.
There was a Garbage Pail Kids movie?
Oh, it's terrifying.
I don't remember. I remember the cars.
I remember the cars
and
for sure.
Yeah, like that kind of shit. Like, but my older brother would definitely know all about it.
Yeah.
Well, we may have to dive into that a little deeper. If you have suggestions like Rob, you can leave us a voicemail. Tell us how great the podcast is. You can also get on our Patreon. We have a couple different tiers and ways for you to support us. The top tier not only gets to hear behind-the-scenes episodes where every week we do some further chatting, some further topics, but you also get mentioned on the episodes along with being able to have your input for future episodes. So we got a list of our top Patreon patrons that we read every episode, and they are fantastic people.
Hit it.
Here we go. Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Kirlana, Big Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Cale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, and Daniel Skaggs.
Damn. You're the best. Thank you, guys.
That soundbite is just for you.
Yeah.
You're literally the best around.
My God.
It's the best idea I've had on this show.
I hear Greg Jackson. I just think Ray Jackson.
I know. For all we know, these names are completely fake. Yeah. And people are just like, oh, my name's Anita Richards.
The majority of them are real.
You're right.
So thank you. If you want to know more about our Patreon and how you can help us and get extra content, go to patreon.com/confusedbreakfast.
95, 90. Oh.
Damn, bro.
Wow, that's so embarrassing for you.
So embarrassing. Well, before we get started talking about playing video games as a kid, let's real quick talk about our sponsor of today's episode.
It's no secret that we love booze.
It's also no secret that we are big fans of supporting local.
So it really shouldn't come as any surprise that we proudly sip on whiskey from Cedar Ridge Distillery.
If you don't believe us, just trust the beautiful people of Iowa who made Cedar Ridge the number one selling bourbon in our home state last year.
Or maybe you prefer to listen to the experts at the American Distilling Institute, who named Cedar Ridge as a distillery of the year in 2017.
What's super interesting about us three, if you haven't noticed yet, we do generally agree on things like broad picture when it comes to movies and just jank things in general. But the smaller details is where we differ a little bit, and it's totally the same on how we consume our whiskey. I'm just like quintessential American single malt, neat. Don't you dare put a single thing in that glass. I want to feel the burn.
So I want all the things in my glass with the delicious bourbon. Okay?
Oh, so you're the bourbon. Okay.
I like the bourbon. Okay, and I want a good, like, I want to make a homemade whiskey sour. Oh, that's what I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're both are wrong. I got to be honest, because the only way for me to drink Cedar Ridge whiskey is that special Slipknot number 9 whiskey. Just drop a big old ice cube in there and enjoy, my friends.
It's fantastic,
actually. I think that it's made out of their sweat from their masks.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure they have little droplets of sweat that go into the making of it. So
another Iowa staple, Slipknot. You cannot go wrong.
Emphasis on the staple.
Yes, staple, baby. Regardless of how you like to drink your whiskey, you need to grab a bottle of Cedar Ridge today. If you're in Iowa or around the Midwest, chances are damn good you can hit up your local retailer and buy some. If you're elsewhere in the country, go to CedarRidgeWhiskey.com to order a bottle and have it shipped right to your house. Jump on this whiskey train before they're the hottest whiskey in America. You'll say you liked it before it was cool, just like the Confused Breakfast, baby. Let's do it. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. Drink responsibly, please, and order some today.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
All right, let's get back to the program. Here's what you came for. You wanted to hear us talk about Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. But I have a question. Did you guys actually own either of those systems as kids?
I owned a Sega.
So you were a Sega boy?
Yes, I definitely owned a Sega.
Wow.
Owen Wilson.
Wow. Super Nintendo. I had a Super Nintendo.
So, okay, great. So you're a Sega. You're a Super Nintendo. Yep. I was also a Sega.
You were a Sega.
I was a Sega.
Oh, man. I am the minority here.
Well, but it's good that we have a little bit of, because I'm sure we've all played games from the different systems.
Sure.
But it was different. It's like you were picking sides sort of as a child one you were into.
It's like the current like PlayStation Xbox thing that kind of goes on.
It's sort of like that, actually.
Kind of like that. But yeah, like it was way more cutthroat back then.
It really was.
Oh, God. If you better not be caught in the Sega group. If you had Super Nintendo,
wow!
I'm gonna argue differently later, a little later. But the crazy thing is, each of these systems could have totally gotten their own episode. I mean, they exist in history together, though, due to this kind of fierce competition for sales and marketing between the two. So, I mean, I think they deserve to live in the same mini bite together. So I think we start off with a little bit of history on the consoles.
Yeah, what was it all about with these guys? Like, so they are competitors, right?
Oh, completely. Okay. Yes. Yeah, they were very, very violently against each other. I mean, competing for space. Think about it. It was Nintendo, NES, 8-bit, and there was Atari. You know, but like NES had everybody.
Yeah.
But then when they moved from 8-bit to 16-bit, it opened this new market for other people to get involved. And now, you know, the 100 million consoles that was sold by NES, now if there's two competitors, we're down to like 50 million a piece, right? So, I mean, we'll start with Sega, which is actually a super fun fact. Sega was released before Super Nintendo.
Oh.
which I thought they kind of came out at the same time or whatever, but Sega was first. So in the early 1980s, Sega Enterprises Incorporated was one of the top five arcade game manufacturers in the United States. Oh. But like we talked about in the NES episode, a downturn in the arcade business in 1982 seriously hurt the company.
82, huh?
That's when the downturn of arcade games was, apparently.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. That's what it said. So they began to think of new ways to get into the home console market. They were seeing the 8-bit Nintendo doing so well. So the Sega Genesis, or Mega Drive, as it was called in Japan, was the third console that Sega had developed over that time period. At the time, Sega did not possess a North American sales and marketing organization.
Oh.
So they offered the rights to Atari Corporation, which Atari was looking to make that next move, right? They didn't have a 16-bit system. Atari declined to acquire the Sega Genesis, deeming it too expensive, and instead they opted to focus on the Atari ST computer gaming system.
The future? No, thank you.
No, nobody bought the Atari ST.
No.
Not at all. And again, just a terrible, terrible move on Atari's part right there.
Congrats.
Yeah, so Sega says, okay, whatever. We're just going to launch this console through our own Sega of America subsidiary, which executed a limited launch on August 14th, 1989 in New York City and Los Angeles.
1989, good year.
And, and then the Genesis was released for the rest of North America later that year. So late 1989.
Wow.
They went really hard on the advertising. This slogan is amazing. With their slogan included, Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Ooh.
I think that's amazing.
Slam, baby.
Slam.
Mic drop.
But here's what's crazy. Sega struggled to overcome Nintendo's presence in consumers' homes, and they didn't have the overall name recognition. I mean, everybody knows Nintendo.
Yeah.
You just know the name. So they were tasked by Nakayama to sell 1 million units in the first year, and they only sold 500,000.
Wow.
So they kind of went back to the drawing board. They developed a 4-point plan, cut the price of the console, create an American team to develop games targeted at the American market, expand the aggressive advertising campaigns, and replace the bundled game, the one that came with it. I mean, what bundled game came with
your Sega? I don't know. I think it was maybe Mortal Kombat.
No, Sonic.
Oh, okay.
Sonic.
Sorry.
Sonic was not the initial game that came with Sega. It was called Altered Beast.
Yeah, dude.
Which I never played. Did you play it?
I never played it on console, but it is an arcade game.
It's an arcade game,
And it's a super fucking fun arcade game.
Cool.
Like, crazy. And I've never played it like as a kid, like I just said, in like arcades either, but like there was a retro one in Marion, Iowa here that has Altered Beast, and I played it, and it's a trip.
Cool.
It is a fucking trip, man. So one of my questions, and I don't know if you have this yet, but so you said that they cut their price and they changed their game. Was Sega more expensive than
it was? Sega was more expensive than Super Nintendo.
Gotcha.
And then they cheapened it up just a little bit.
Because I figured that since we had one, it was like cheaper.
Yeah, it was.
Well, the Sega.
Yes, the Sega.
Yeah,
was.
Yeah, I figured because like our family, like we'll get the lesser one.
Wait, there's two choices here.
Yeah.
Let's take the lesser one.
Exactly.
That's kind of how we were, I think.
save $10, bro.
Yeah, why not?
So then Sonic the Hedgehog comes out and just popularity skyrockets. The Genesis outsold the Super Nintendo nearly 2-1 during the 1991 holiday season.
Jesus.
Sega controlled 65% of the 16-bit console market in 92. The first time Nintendo had not been the console leader since 1985.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah, so Genesis outsold the SNES for four consecutive Christmas seasons due to its two-year lead, lower price point, and larger game library.
Can you imagine just the nuclear fallout at SNES?
Oh, my God.
Like, just, I mean, like, all of the, especially the Americans,
yeah.
Just like, we're going to lose our fucking jobs. Just step it up. Like, they're talking to the creative people in the back, like, create a game. I don't know. Just Paperboy. That was cool,
dude,
right?
So they kind of did. And when we get into Super Nintendo, they did essentially create a game that then brought them right back to the
I mean,
top.
Isn't that what you have to do?
That's all you got
to
do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it seems like what these people do is just like you got to make the game of all games. Like,
yep.
When I think of Sega, I do think of Sonic, even though I said Mortal Kombat. And then when I think of Nintendo, I think of Mario.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you have your stable. Like, what game do you like better is going to determine what console you're going to buy.
Right? Yeah.
And they were a little bit better in this. They weren't just letting anybody just make a game. Sometimes they were striking deals to say, no, this game only exists on this console.
Yep.
So Sega's advertising positioned the Genesis as the cooler console. Because like a Sony focus group found that teenage boys would not admit to owning an SNES rather than a Genesis.
Really?
Because think about it. The Super Nintendo was more of the family-friendly thing.
Right.
And Sega was like this sleek kind of black console.
Yep.
But here's where it went nuts. So the surprise arcade hit Mortal Kombat was released on both systems. But Super Nintendo being more family-friendly, they cut out the gore.
Right.
Remember, there's no blood. There's no gore. Exactly. Yeah. But Sega said, yeah, right, let's do it. They allowed the uncensored version with cheat codes. And they outsold 3-1 Sega Mortal Kombat's to Super Nintendo.
Wow. Damn.
So overall, 30.75 million first-party Genesis units were sold worldwide. Genesis was succeeded in 1994 by the Sega Saturn and officially discontinued in 1997.
I do remember the Saturn, though. Yeah. I mean, a lot
that was
of
CD, right?
Yeah. A lot of games like... movie adaptations to games, I remember, for Sega Saturn for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of like the spur of that. I know they're like in, for Nintendo and stuff like that, there was like Home Alone and all those kinds of games. But I remember just like an uptake in movie adaptations to games, like for Saturn. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, and so like talking about the controllers and the system, I remember that the system just looked dope. It was black.
Yeah.
It was just very sleek. They've had the black controllers.
Still both cartridges, right?
It was only one cartridge, right?
I mean, like, for Nintendo and Sega, they were both cartridges.
They were both cartridges games.
Okay. Yep. But the Sega was, like, it was a smaller cartridge.
It was a little bit smaller. It was, like, rounded off and stuff.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo, you know, when we get to it, they were, like, blocky and, like, you know, they were the classic gray. And
that's sort of their style.
It didn't look as fancy or, like, as like you say, as sleek as the Sega Genesis, you know?
Well, and they had, think about it, so I was an NES guy going from the two buttons to now there's three.
Yeah.
There's three sides. There's ABC buttons.
ABC.
And then eventually for games like Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, they have to start adding. The controller had six buttons. It had one, two, three, and then 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
And probably some top bumpers.
Yep.
Super Nintendo did the same thing eventually. Yep. They said, oh, we got to add more.
We got to
add more controllers. But the thing that like jarred my nostalgia was the Sega intro.
Yeah, man. Sega!
I mean, that, and like Super Nintendo didn't have anything like that.
No.
It was just the minute the game started, you knew what you were playing. They announced themselves to the room.
Yep.
This is what we're playing.
Do that tune,
big
man.
Blue insignia, like logo, just Sega.
Think about PS2 nowadays, or like when PS2 came out. Not nowadays.
Nowadays.
That's just what I play.
Now and later.
Now and later.
PS2 was like right when it started, I was like, and like you were like jamming, or like you were doing your favorite fucking game and had the thing cranked up, and then you forgot to turn it down.
Yep. So that is.
So the next time it was just like, I mean that's synonymous with that intro there, you know.
Oh yeah.
Xbox had the. I don't know what it was.
I'm catching that sound bite. So I think overall when they got to it, Sega and Super Nintendo ended up creating about the same amount of games. Sega said they had 713 games total, and at one point Sega had 10 games for every single Super Nintendo game.
Jesus.
They also did, Super Nintendo had exclusive versions of Final Fight, if you remember that game.
Yes. Mm.
But Sega internal development team, this is where the wars started happening. They created Streets of Rage, which is like the same game, but of course they had bigger levels, tougher enemies, like a very well-regarded soundtrack in Streets of Rage.
Dude, that's where it's at. Like, you got to have that sound bite. You got to have that soundtrack.
Ooh. But so let's talk about some of the Sega games. For me, again, being a Sega guy, there were more memorable games for me as a Sega guy. Like, AJ, like, do you remember any specific game? Even though you didn't own the console, you probably had a friend that did.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember any games that you really liked?
I had. So I'll tell you the first game that I think I ever remember my brother brought home, and it was Beavis and Butthead. Seriously, like I remember him bringing that home, and it was like, he got the cheat code, so that way in like level 2, when you get like the little plunger gun or whatever, dart gun, you had unlimited rounds for a little bit, and it was like an auto gun. So I remember that kind of stuff. But my cousin had, it was a game called Bubsy, I believe.
I don't remember that
one. Bubsy. He was like this little like squirrel looking thing. But he also had Beetleborgs. Do you guys remember the show Beetleborgs?
I don't know if I remember that either.
Hardcore knockoff of like Power Rangers.
Wow.
Also had Power Rangers, by the way.
There was a good video game for Power Rangers. Yeah. I remember that.
There was like a fighting game and stuff that the Power Rangers I had. And like it was also kind of like a street crawler one, I think. But I think, what was it? Not Streets of Rage, but what was the other one?
The Super Nintendo one was Final Fight.
Final Fight.
But they didn't do that on Sega because they had exclusive rights.
They had, right. And on Sega, they had Streets of Rage.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Yes. And I remember Streets of Rage. I also remember the last one I think I really remember other than like maybe like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat was Spider-Man Carnage.
Ooh.
Okay. I don't know if I played that one either.
I think it was Spider-Man Carnage.
Is that where he was actually doing the web and like going down the street with it?
It was like a side-scroller, kind of like Streets of Rage, but you were Spider-Man or Venom.
Cool.
Damn. Yeah,
it was badass. They had it for Super Nintendo, but I remember playing it on Sega Genesis.
Do you remember any games?
I remember some games, yeah. Obviously Mortal Kombat was a huge one in the household. Like I know we had the Sega one, so there was all the gore. And I know my dad and my brother were like super good at the fatalities and everything.
Oh.
And I never really was, but we've talked about that at length on our Mortal Kombat episode, so go check that out.
Length.
But, Sonic the Hedgehog was huge, too.
Dude, 1, 2, and 3, plus then they had Sonic and Knuckles.
Sonic and Knuckles and Tails. I mean, like... There's a guy on TikTok called Old Time Hockey. I don't know if like you guys follow him or anything, but he'll just like make food in his campfire and like go back to his cabin and play retro video games. And it's like the most relaxing thing. And I saw him play Sonic the Hedgehog and Tails, and I'm just like, I want to play it so bad.
That might be the coolest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's the best. I don't know why I've ever not talked to you guys about it. But
that's amazing.
I will show you some. But yeah, man, Sonic was huge like for us. And I remember one time actually playing with my brother. I think because you could play two player, right?
You could. At some point, I think with maybe Knuckles. It was two or three. That's when all of a sudden Tails and Knuckles would show up with you. And
So you could like get the best time, I guess, on shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember. Like my brother would always beat me, and then like my parents were around at this time, and they were like cheering me on because he would always
come on,
win.
Sean.
And I finally won like by a fucking hair, like a Sonic a Sonic dick hair, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just like a really really good moment for me. But yeah, man, Sonic was just
spiked it into the TV and broke it, so he couldn't play anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was Sonic 2. Remember like the bonus round, the half pipe with the rings, like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just that you've never seen anything like that when that
so
first
fun.
Came out.
Have you guys seen the movie at all? Sonic?
No.
I haven't either, but I hear it's great.
Is it
really?
Yeah. I hear it's actually like really fun. But anyway, one huge, huge game for me, and it was like the game that I played, was a game called Vector Man.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You just played this like green guy. I don't know if he was a robot or like an alien or something.
He's like made of balls, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And honestly,
balls.
Like, look it up.
Me.
Yeah. Nice. Mike is just balls.
Mike made this small hand gesture in his lap, too, when he said that.
Yeah. Flippy flopping his balls.
I didn't mean to do that, but just in case you didn't know what I was referring to.
That's why you need to do the Patreon so we can do some video.
Down here, baby.
That's right.
But yeah, it was a side scroller, just like Sonic or anything like that would be. Like you get to the main bad guy at the end and shit. I don't know, man. Like that game just stuck with us, and that was like the ones that I played mostly.
I'm gonna give you a few of mine. I mean, when you're talking about that era of video games, NHL '94.
Oh wow!
I mean, like, is there a better hockey game? I mean, I know things have improved and NHLPA is all and all these games, but like to be Wayne Gretzky and to be able to fight, and there's blood. I mean, it's been referenced in movies.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about Swingers for the second week in a row, but like they're playing NHL 94. I mean, and then you even get into like Madden 94. That became a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
It started the EA Sports, it's in the game. Like that's where it started.
My buddy had NBA.
NBA Jam.
NBA Jam.
What a game.
Here we go.
So that was the problem is I always wanted to play NBA Jam because that one, the music. And it was fucking bad.
He's on fire.
He's on fire. And I always wanted to play that. And he was like,
He wanted to play real NBA, didn't he?
Yeah. He was like, oh, I've got NBA 93.
93.
And it, like we'd play, we'd turn it on, and it felt like it took forever to try to get into a game. And there's no music.
No, it's there's, just squeaking.
It's just
of
like
shoes.
No. Travel. You traveled. How the fuck did I
NBA
travel?
NBA Jam, you didn't have to know how to play basketball to play NBA Jam.
You didn't know that you needed to press a button so you could dribble the fucking ball. It's like, oh, you traveled. So
that's like having a hockey game and like puck handling. Like that's a skill you have to do.
It should
with
just
like
automatically
stick.
Do that.
Exactly.
Just do that. You're a basketball player. Oh, that's great.
Speaking of sport, there was a game called Mutant League Football. Did anybody remember that one?
No, that sounds great.
Kind of a cool one. There was, me being a helicopter nerd, as I've talked about many times on this podcast, there were three different games, Jungle Strike, Desert Strike, and Urban Strike.
Ooh, I remember Jungle Strike.
Oh, my God, what a cool game. I mean, you were just this helicopter that could fly around towns and start blowing up buildings and cars. I mean, everything you ever wanted out of GTA down the road was, like, you could do it back then.
Yeah.
Great, great game. I mean, Sega classic Echo the Dolphin. If there's ever a more peaceful game in the entire world, that was actually really hard to play. But like, you could just jump out of the water and come back down.
Come back down.
Our friend Angry Video Game Nerd like goes on a rampage about that game on one.
Speaking of Rampage, it's one of my favorite games.
Rampage,
is so good.
Is that's
Rampage.
Sega, right?
Yeah. I think it was Nintendo. It was Sega. Okay. It was Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Still super fucking fun. I remember my girlfriend and I were just at a Dave and Buster's, and there's like a big, huge. Like HD version of it now. It's just you smash buildings.
That's all
and,
you do.
And you smash people that are trying to kill you, and you see how long you can last. And you can play like an alligator or like a T-Rex was there, and like a big monkey.
There's a monkey.
And then
there's a wolf.
And the Rock is in there too.
The Rock. Mark Wahlberg shows up.
Mark Wahlberg.
Vin Diesel. Yeah.
Vin Diesel.
Yep, Vin Diesel.
I hear that the Rampage movie is actually
then to
really
find
fun.
Out that sure all the is. Monsters are actually family and nothing can nothing could defeat families.
Oh yeah!
Shut up. There's one particular video game that I got to talk about for Sega, especially because my dad and mom are avid listeners. They're hey Rick and Sue.
What up?
Good to hear you guys.
What up, Rick and Sue?
Let's do like 1 minute with no swearing.
Okay, ready? Right. Here we go. But there was a game called Road Rash. Do you remember Road Rash? It was a motorcycle game.
Heck
it was a racing motor game.
Yes.
And you could pick up like chains and hit other
ones.
We would be gone. I said this about Nintendo. It started happening on Sega. We'd be gone for the day.
Yeah.
And we'd come home and my dad's in the basement just playing Road Rash. I mean, like loving the game.
Is he a motorcycle guy?
No, not at all.
Something like that?
Just
okay.
It's a really fun game. He's like, oh, I hit the guy with the chain. He fell off his motorcycle. Yeah. Cool, Dad. I did that too. It was awesome.
That's
flipping sweet.
Yeah.
They had these really neato cutscenes. I don't know if they actually had them on Sega Genesis, but I remember it on Road Rash. And my buddy had it on computer.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they had these, like, real reenactments of people, like, after you lost, then, like, people hitting you over your motorcycle helmet over the head with a beer bottle and pouring a beer on your head. Or if you won, then girls came up and kissed you on your motorcycle
like really
helmet.
Really nice computer graphics of a girl in a bikini.
Yeah, something like that, you know. That's what they did.
Do you remember on that same vein there was one called Skitchin? It was a it was a rollerblade game that you were going down the interstate and you could grab onto a car.
Yes.
And the car would pull you further and you'd go over a ramp and punch somebody. That was a big game for me and my brother. And the only other two that I kind of went through all the games, I said what were my favorites? It's not very well received from what I understand because it's kind of a hard game, but the X-Men game for Sega incredible. In my opinion, because you could pick whatever X-Men you wanted to be, and they had special powers, and it was hard. It was a very hard game, but being a huge X-Men fan, it had to be in my library.
Yeah.
And there was a Jurassic Park game, which we're going to be talking about in a couple weeks, but there was a really cool Jurassic Park game.
Okay.
You could either be Alan Grant or a Velociraptor.
Oh, I do remember this, yes.
And depending on what you wanted to do, you could pick which one you wanted to be in the scene.
Oh, my Lord.
It was pretty good and
oh,
scary.
No.
Because I was scared to shit of dinosaurs back then.
Minute's over.
Minute's over now, dude.
Turn it off.
Anything else you want to talk about on the Sega? Any other games you can remember?
I think I'm good.
I can't think of anything else on Sega. I will just lash out obnoxiously if I remember something.
Okay. Well, let's move along. So Super Nintendo, right?
Yes.
They were looking to capitalize and improve on the 8-bit Nintendo success. So released in 1990 in Japan and South Korea and then in the United States in 1991. This is 2 years after Sega. The Super Nintendo is Nintendo's second programmable home console following the 8-bit Nintendo from 1985. The console introduced advanced graphics and sound capabilities compared with other systems at the time. The system was designed to accommodate the ongoing development of a variety of enhancement chips integrated into game cartridges to be competitive into the next generation, which the 8-bit Nintendo, once it was done. There's nothing that could be improved upon.
Yeah.
So the Super Nintendo received largely positive reviews and was a global success, becoming the best-selling console of the 16-bit era after launching relatively late and facing intense competition from Sega Genesis. Overlapping the NES's 61.9 million unit sales, the Super Nintendo remained popular well into the 32-bit era with 49 million units sold. It was discontinued in 2003, but that goes to show you they sold 62 million units of the 8-bit, and then they only sold 50 million of the 16-bit because now there's Sega taking...
So competition came in heavy.
Exactly. Gotcha. If there was no such thing as a Sega, they probably would have sold like 100 million consoles.
Right.
But, you know, that's how it goes. So like I said, it was released in Japan at first in November of 1990 under the name of Super Famicom. Because remember, Famicom was Nintendo. It's interesting how they all have different names.
Yeah.
In different countries, they have to call it something different.
Yeah.
Kind of strange, right?
They looked different, too. They literally, like, built the systems looking differently. Super Famicom was like, oh, family computer, family console, whatever it was.
And but in America, no!
It looked really weird, and then they had to call it Nintendo here. And it looked, I don't know. And then, like, as it went on, they started releasing, like, different versions of the console.
Yep.
They had the Yoshi one. They had, like, the Gen 2 or whatever. It was really weird, man. I don't get it.
It was like certain countries have to, like, do their own thing, you know? Yeah. Like, it's weird. Like, some movies will have different titles in different countries and different areas and stuff like that. And it's just like, we like it, but we're going to do our own thing with it.
Yeah.
We're going to call it Super Blast and
Super Blast McFace.
Super Blast Game Man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Super Mega Fun Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Super Mega Fun Time.
We're going to paint it yellow.
Super Mega Fun Time. Play that
I don't actually. I'm going to take that and make it one next time. So like I said, it was a total success. Nintendo's initial shipment of 300,000 units sold out within hours. Wow. And then this was in Japan, so under Famicom.
Okay.
The resulting social disturbance led the Japanese government to ask video game manufacturers to schedule future console releases on weekends. Just from the release of Super Famicom. Insanity, right? So
they wanted to release on weekends because there was...
I guess to not disrupt, like, business.
Wow.
That was happening.
Yeah, because they're slave labor over there pretty
basically,
much.
Right?
They work, like, 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
So here's where it's crazy. So we talked about the rivalry. It's been described as one of the most notable console wars in video game history, which actually says a lot because I feel like you have PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah.
They've been competing for ages, but they're talking about this is like the crazy one, right? And we talked about how Sega positioned the Genesis as the cool console, but Nintendo, they went all in and they scored on an early public relations advantage by having like the more family console name. They also secured the first console conversion of Capcom's Street Fighter.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they were the first ones to get Street Fighter over, where Mortal Kombat, I think, hit both at the same time.
Yeah.
But Street Fighter 2 only went to Super Nintendo, and I remember that. So I was a huge Street Fighter fan playing the arcades, and then I couldn't get it on Sega. And that was a huge disappointment.
Oh.
So it took more than a year to make the transition over to Genesis. Even though the Genesis had a 2-year launch time advantage and a much larger library of games, plus lower price point, it still only represented an estimated 60% of consoles in June 1992. So neither had a definitive lead. They were all claiming, oh, I sold more, I sold more. And it was probably Sega that had the lead on most of this, like we talked about. And here's where Nintendo got their game. Do you remember do you know what game it was that positioned Nintendo as the leader for the rest of the time?
What was it?
It was one particular game that it was said to have helped establish Super Nintendo's market prominence for the latter years of the 16-bit generation. And for a time even maintain against PlayStation and Sega Saturn. That's how popular this game was.
Super Mario World?
No.
Okay.
Was it Super Mario at all?
No.
Okay. So Then
Zelda.
It wasn't something that I thought of immediately, but then when you hear it, you go, oh, right.
Star Fox.
My big one was like...
It's a great game, though.
I'm trying to think of like the off-the-wall ones that I like.
Yeah, so it would have been later on in the years of Super Nintendo. Not Final Fantasy. I'll give you one more guess.
Super Mario Kart.
No, that was way early on in
Kirby.
Awesome game.
Looney Tunes.
No, Donkey Kong Country.
Donkey Kong! Oh,
Donkey Kong Country was the game...
Yeah,
that basically Nintendo said this is only available on Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
and it's the best game ever. What people said,
because it looked insane.
Yeah,
it looked incredible compared to like a lot of the earlier games. God, I can't believe I didn't think of that. I remember if my brother was listening to this, he's probably screaming at me.
I hate you,
he's like, you son of a. Anyways, but yeah, oh God, that makes such perfect sense.
Yeah.
Oh.
So according to Nintendo, the company had sold more than 20 million Super Nintendos in the U.S., and that they outsold the Genesis by 2 million total
units.
What
year was this?
I think it was 94.
Okay.
94.
So it tells you that was really basically like another 3 to 5 years. They eventually moved on to the next Nintendo console in 97 with the N64.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Nintendo ceased production of the Super Nintendo in 1999. That's kind of the history on the Super Nintendo. Do you remember the controller and like the console of that game?
Yeah.
Vividly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God.
So this was like I didn't have this. Like I said, we had the Sega, but every time I went over to my uncle's to watch Heavyweights and to watch the Goonies and to watch Richie Rich, there was also this game console there, and we played Mario Brothers all the time. We played Donkey Kong, and then we play, like the older version of Paperboy, pretty much, you know. But yeah, it's like, you know, like the double eject cartridge is like a gray like system, but then like the eject buttons were like purple or blue or something like that. And yeah, the controllers are like that classic and the Nintendo. Then that was it.
It was an AB.
Yeah.
But then it was an XY on top of it.
That's right.
But the D-pad was the same. It had select start.
You had R and L.
Well, so at first they didn't.
They didn't?
No, at first, I couldn't remember. I'm saying they had to have bumpers. No, at first it was just A, B, X, Y.
Hmm. Oh, you're right.
And then eventually these games start coming out like Street Fighter. Because think about it. The only negative about Street Fighter for Super Nintendo was that with Sega, you had 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. You had your six buttons there. Yeah. Your light, medium, and hard punch and kick.
Yep.
But with Super Nintendo, you only had the two, and then a bumper was the third
bumper.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a little
fucking
difficult.
Hard, too.
It was very fucking
super,
hard.
In Street Fighter, that was tough to get like the full-on fireball.
Yes. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be fucking tough.
Oh, come on. No, I do remember that. I remember always trying to throw the hardest Hadouken.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to do because
you had to go down to medium-sized Hadouken.
Yeah, you just had to throw a couple of them. Those, throw them off.
And they would let you rearrange the buttons in the setup, but I don't know.
I ain't doing all that.
I ain't doing that.
Give me that factory setup. Yeah, I don't want that custom shit. Yeah.
So AJ, we're going to go to you first. You being a Super Nintendo guy, give me some games.
I have a lot of them off the bat, and like so I have stuff like Contra 3, that was a big one, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy 3 or 6 if you're over in Japan.
Yes.
it was 6. That was actually,
what are they on now, like 70 something?
I think so, yeah, I'm pretty
no,
sure.
No, for real, it's the last fantasy, guys.
and it's I swear to God, it's the last Final
Fantasy. I swear to God, Final Fantasy.
It's Super Final Fantasy. but they're actually just on the reissue of the Final Fantasy. So
it's the Final Fantasy, but this is the prequel, so
right. But there was also like all the random bullshit that was in there too. I mean, they had reissues of so many video games from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Super Punch Out.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Amazing.
Where they capitalized on some of the success of the 8-bit and said we can do it better.
Right. Yeah. They had Mario Kart was in there, I think. They had, they reissued everything. Mario All-Stars. There are so many video games that I remember like playing as a kid. It's insane. It's the console. it's one of two consoles that I go back to as an adult, and I just have to like relive it for a little bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, I don't play a lot of video games anymore, but these are the ones that I can just like sit down. I'm okay to invest like 45 minutes to an hour and be like, cool, I'm good. I got my little video game fixed, and I'm good. Yep. That's it. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to talk about Super Nintendo, I mean, I don't know if there's a more iconic game than Super Mario Kart.
Yeah. It's just where it all starts, you know, like especially like and as an adult now, like I will play that and do a drinking game any day of the week.
Any day.
Like,
time.
It's what do you do? Like you like every time what is it? Every time like you get stunned or something like that, you got to like drink or no, you have to finish your beer before you end the race.
Yeah. Oh,
but you want to win the race too. So like you could either
just go as fast as you can and then chug.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you could let everyone else go, chug your beer, and then try and win the race after that. You know,
so that's the thing. If you've never played it, guys, the official rules are you cannot drive and drink at the same time.
Yes, that's
so
it.
your cart has to be, and you have to finish your beer before you finish the race.
Yes.
Okay. So strategy could be chug the beer all at once, like you said, and then you just get done with your beer, and then you finish the race.
Or after every lap, maybe.
Yeah. Or you just try to get farther ahead, and then you chug some of your beer. But if it's not done before you finish the race, you're out. You lose.
Yep.
So
damn.
Yeah. And I can remember plenty of dark nights.
Yeah.
With this game in college.
I can remember many a fruit by the foot fueled Kool-Aid jammer fueled nights with this too, you know. And we didn't play like that. We didn't play like we do as adults, but yeah, man, that
one of the
Super Mario Kart was really fun.
First true like community games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you just brought a bunch of people together and got to do this. And then was it, I mean, at some point you could then start doing four at a time kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was right off the bat. You had to get the addition of
they had an attachment that plugged in to like port number two, and it went around and it added two more slots.
Yeah. That's a game. The four people can play at the same time.
Yeah. And then, which led to the distinct like thing of N64, you know, but it's so crazy how they progressed to that with Super Nintendo.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Donkey Kong Country, obviously we talked about how great that was. Super Mario Kart, Street Fighter being the first, I mean, that's my game. We talked about that in past things. Street Fighter's mine. So you got to give it up for Super Nintendo. But then you think about some of those first couple games that came along with it, like Star Fox. What a weird, like kind of bad graphics, but sort of awesome game.
Just because it was like a fox in space, I'm like, cool.
I like that. I think I'm into this.
I want to draw you. Yeah. You know,
that's exactly it. I got a Nintendo Power magazine, and I wanted to draw all the Star Fox characters. You know, I cannot think of. I remember getting. I've told the story on the podcast before, so I apologize. But I remember when we got the Super Nintendo, and I didn't really know a lot about it. But my older brothers definitely did because they knew all about regular Nintendo. When we got it for Christmas, it was my brother Ray, oldest brother, hauling this thing downstairs, saying, well, "I play first." And then my brother David, second oldest, well, "I play second." And then Bob said, "Well, I play third." And then me falling up, "I play fourth.
I guess I'm fourth.
I get to play fourth."
You guys, I heard that you can do it to where four people can play the same time. They're like, "No, this one doesn't work that way."
And actually, also, I'm fourth too. So,
and most of the time,
I'm playing twice.
It was always like, and the game that came with it was Super Mario.
Yep.
In that package, and that was what they were playing. And you could do, I think you could play two player. You could set it for two player, but Mario and Luigi looked identical.
Yeah.
Ray would always play Mario, and Dave would always play Luigi. And I don't know how many times Bob and I actually got to play.
Oh, well.
You guys are talking about all these exciting games like Donkey Kong and Nintendo, or not Nintendo, but Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers, Mario Kart and everything like that. But you guys are missing out on like one of the most exciting games, I think, we haven't really talked about yet. Tetris.
Super Tetris.
Are you a good Tetriser?
You like Tetris?
I do.
You do?
I'm very good at Tetris.
You are?
Yeah.
This is a bit.
I actually really like Tetris.
You do?
Okay, fine.
No, I'm there with you. Like, the games I want to play now are these kinds of games.
Yes.
Like Tetris and like what like Mahjong.
Yeah. No, no.
Like the video version of Mahjong. But no, I like especially like arcades now, they'll have like the like once you drop one or something like that, it'll be like a casino. Like once you do something good, it'll be like
you got 98 tickets.
Just to try to make it exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know this. I know that Super Nintendo had a dual Tetris Dr. Mario.
Yeah.
That was, and I do remember that. I remember the boxes of Super Nintendo games so distinctly, man.
Yep.
And N64 probably more so, but I remember for Super Nintendo, it always said Super Nintendo at the bottom. It always had really cool art, and the exclusives, they said, it had the little flip down at the top corner. It said, exclusively for Super Nintendo, only for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like that kind of a thing.
That's a good marketing ploy, too. Yeah. Just be like, I'm sorry, but this is the only way you can play this game.
I remember for some reason that always excited me way more than going like later on in life to go grab like an Xbox game that was a disc. Mm. I was so excited about the cartridges, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a weird thing.
No, that was part of the experience for all those games. It was the holding. That was what this podcast is all about. It's like holding VHS. It in your hand and going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then realizing the graphics on the cover are nothing like the graphics of the game. It's the same thing.
There were Super Nintendo also had cartridges that were special colored. Mm. And so I think Zelda had a gold one. I remember what I was talking about earlier for Sega, Spider-Man Venom or Carnage is what it was called. It was a red one.
Oh, cool.
They had so many different like special colors for like some of the games. I remember, Killer Instinct.
The game.
Do you guys remember Killer Instinct?
I don't remember that one.
That was,
was it like camo or something?
No, it was a fighting game and it had really weird, like, I don't know, fantasy characters or whatever. I was all about fighting games as a kid.
Me too, for sure.
Yeah. Killer Instinct. I can't remember, like, there was a couple other ones that I might have to look up.
But. Do you remember F-Zero?
Yeah.
F-Zero was like, dude. I think it was one of the initial games.
Fighter
Jam? No, it was like car. It was like a weird futuristic cars, right? Also, I didn't realize this, but Super Nintendo was the very first SimCity game.
Oh, really?
So think about what a game changer that has been over the decades.
Oh, shit.
SimCity, the initial game, came out on Super Famicom, Super Nintendo.
Wow.
And just... I mean, created a whole... if you think about what that game created...
I'm sure there's Sims podcasting now.
Everything. I mean, all the tunnels it's gone down since to where now even just like the Fortnite and stuff like that is kind of like SimCity.
I think they call it the Fortnite, too.
The Fortnite. Fartnite is what I call it.
The Fartnite.
I don't know
them kids and the Fortnites.
You know, the Fortnites and their and their pop-punk music and, you know...
Oh, man. Dude, I'll give you the rundown of my fighting games. I found some of them. Okay.
Okay.
So obviously you've got like Street Fighter and
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. But you've also got Clay Fighter. You got Final Fight, which is kind of a fighting game. There was Killer Instinct. Clay Fighter was a big one though for some odd weird reason. And then there was, there was the precursors of like Virtua Fighter and shit like that came out on PlayStation later. But I don't know. This is the only thing I could play against my brothers and actually win.
Yeah.
And actually like do okay at, mm-hmm. even though it's maybe just mashing buttons back then. But I still felt
fair.
Cool.
You don't know what you're doing. It's not fair.
You don't even know what he's doing.
Well, then why don't you do it then?
He's not even trying.
Beat me then.
I don't either. Beat me.
He just spams that button. He's just tripping me.
Oh man, that's the whole point of episodes like this and these mini bite ones is there's so much nostalgia with the movies that we talk about, but there's just those elements of pop culture that take you back to being a kid and mm-hmm. like you said, it's holding on to a cartridge or mm-hmm. seeing some gameplay on YouTube from a game, you're like instantly transformed back to it.
Yeah, dude,
it's amazing.
Yeah, honestly, that's all I ever. I realize that's almost all I want out of these things.
That's all.
It's mm-hmm. just that little burst of nostalgia.
Burst.
And like, I'll probably get bored with the game.
Of course you will.
About 20 minutes in.
Of course you will, bro. But you got that nostalgia. You got that hit in.
Yep, I got
fix,
that
dude.
Hit, baby.
Well, get us on the Facebooks and Instagrams and Twitters and all that and TikToks and tell us what your favorite Sega Super Nintendo games were. You know, we're going to get back into the movies. We're going to check this out. I wrote this. Ready? Tune in next Wednesday as we A-button back into movie reviews.
Jesus.
You like that? Get it? Because like A-button was usually jump.
Ugh. Right.
Am I fired?
You can. I get it.
Do you have a whoop, whoop, whoop?
You know, like, am I allowed to? This is not a.
This isn't.
Do it. Thank you. Thank you, Miles.
Miles.
That, yeah, that's it. I had to pay a lot for this little console because it's got actual Miles Davis. If that's what you're referring to.
I think so. I couldn't get it.
I think that was a trumpet and that was a trombone, so I don't know.
Congrats.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody, though. Yeah, keep up with us on all the social medias. Give us a voicemail, 319-804-9596. And as I said, as we jump to conclusions, you know, we'll be tackling...
It's the worst idea I've ever heard in my life, Tom.
We'll be tackling quintessential summer camp movie, Heavyweights.
Woo!
We're back into the movies, baby. It's summertime. Hope you're having the best summer of your life. Yeah. That's all I want to say.
I know I am.
Because I personally am.
Yeah, dude.
It's the best.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Well, we will catch you next time. Thanks for joining us. Confused Breakfast. Pull the power cord.
Out.
Deuces.
Bye. Hey, listen, it's not the right song I was planning on playing.
You son of a...
But we're going to leave
it. Is this your own beat you just want to promote at the end of this episode?
Anyway, check me out. Salt, MikeSaltyRaps.com.
Salty Beats.
I'm just going to let the song play.
Yeah, whatever.
It's kind of a cool outro song, right?
Okay, bye.
Confused. Breakfast is confused. Super Nintendo, Sega Over Genesis. Easy. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this 50-inch screen running. Oh, that's the end, I think.